late 80s when that song was written. I was in seminary, and our professors taught us to run when it came to stewardship, to tread lightly at best, to fear, to ignore, and if you have to preach on it, joke and move on. You know, the professors were wrong. They were wrong. I believe a much better model is to celebrate stewardship in a church as family. That we are a community of faith, and we've been given this privilege to participate in something so incredible and so wonderful and so worthy. And that model is found in Scripture. I want to read a text that I've read many times. It's my favorite text on generous giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And I'm going to read from the Message translation. You will see the Scripture printed on the screen. Follow along in this contemporary translation. Now, friends, I want to report on the surprising and generous way in which God is working in the churches in Macedonia. Fierce troubles came down on the people of those churches, pushing them to the very limit. The trials exposed their true colors. They were incredibly happy, though desperately poor. The pressure triggered something totally unexpected, an outpouring of pure and generous giving. I was there. I saw it for myself. They gave offerings of whatever they could, far more than they could afford, pleading for the privilege of helping out the poor, the relief of the poor Christians. This was totally spontaneous, entirely on their own idea. They caught us completely off guard. What explains it was they first had given themselves unreservedly to God and then to us. Their other giving simply flowed out of the purposes of God working in their lives. That's what prompted us to ask Titus to bring the relief offering to your attention so that it was so well begun, what was well begun could be finished up. You do so well in so many things. The Corinthians, you trust God. You're articulate. You're insightful. You're passionate. You love us now. Do your best in this to excel in the grace of giving. An outpouring of pure and generous gifts is what Paul seeks to describe. Generous. Charles Smith is a professor at the Notre Dame University, and he defines generosity like this. Generosity is the virtue of giving good things to others freely and abundantly. It is a learned character trait that involves attitude and action, entailing both the inclination and the actual practice of giving liberally. It is not haphazard behavior, but a basic orientation to life. Generosity is not duty-driven. It's not obligation, and it's surely not God's going to get you if you don't. Generosity in the church is grounded in a profound understanding that all that we have is God's, and that we're in this together, and that together we can accomplish so much. Those Macedonians in the midst of conflict, they got it. The Apostle Paul wanted the church at Corinth to get it, and all the other churches who would read his letter, and I think for this church as well. The church at Macedonia, they gave. They gave generously. They gave though they were desperately poor, and yet they were incredibly happy, an outpouring of pure and generous giving. They gave as much as they could. They gave more than they should. They gave all the while without any coercion. It just flowed out of what God was doing in their lives. Now, giving to the church giving to the causes of Christ, and money in general is found throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. I didn't read it myself. The scholars say there are 500 verses in the Old and New Testament on prayer. 500 verses on prayer. There are 500 verses in Scripture on faith. And there are 1,500 verses on giving, on money, on possessions. 40% of what Jesus taught that's recorded in the Gospels, 40% was on money and possessions. In Scripture, we find passages on how we acquire money, how we spend money, how we manage money, and how we should give money. My seminary professors were simply wrong. There is a biblical mandate to preach and to teach and to know God's word concerning stewardship. Walter Brueggemann is a renowned biblical scholar. Brueggemann said, "I have, in ways that even surprise me, come to the conclusion that the Bible is indeed about money and possessions. It is astonishing that the church has willingly engaged in the misreading of the biblical text in order to avoid the centrality of money in its story." So let's talk about money and budget and finance concerning our church. Tomorrow evening, the budget committee will present to our trustees and our deacons the 2020 church ministry budget. A church budget answers, who are we? A church budget answers, what are we about and how do we do what we do? Hear that again. A budget says, this is who we are and this is what we're about and this is how we're going to do what we need to do. A budget is a mission plan. The church budget is the ministry plan of the coming year of a church. It's more expenditures and receipts. The money follows the mission. The money follows the mission. Our 2020 ministry budget being proposed is $1,447,199. You say it fast enough, it doesn't sound so much. That's $100,000 increase over this year's budget. Now, our budget falls into four categories. Our budget falls into missions, ministry, personnel, and operations. I love missions. Missions, you see the figure, $120,000. There was a time in the life of this church where most of our mission money we sent away. We sent to Dallas, we sent to Nashville, we sent around the world. We trusted those partners to spend our money, and so we sent it to them. It's a new day, and I am so glad that we still partner with folks that we can partner with, but that we don't just send it away, but we are first going to take care of our community and the ministry mission needs in our community. Here are some areas that we partner with, some folks that we know. We know their budget, we know their needs, and we are locally engaged. God Tell, a homeless ministry, the Mosaic Center, Love in the Name of Christ, our food bank, CISC, Buckner Family Pathways, Pregnancy Help Center, Christian Men's Job Corps, Second Helpings and Second Sacks that began right here by ladies in our church. Local missions, we're going to continue to partner with the Junior League and the Back to School Bonanza. Herdy Primary is our school. We budget about $2,000 to do missions and ministry with Herdy. Love Lufkin, every month, tacos, about $1,200 a year. We just did Love Lufkin. Love Lufkin is a budget item. That didn't just happen. We spent about $3,000 to make Love Lufkin happen. Taco Thursday is what I meant to talk about. Every once a month, we give tacos to some folks who are standing in line to get food. We still want to do global missions. And so $5,000 we've set aside to see what we can develop in Spain. What does that look like with our missionaries in Spain? And my favorite category is mission and ministry unknown. We don't know what God will do in 2020. We don't know what the needs will be. We continue to budget money for disaster relief. We hope we don't have to help those in disaster. But every year new disasters come, and we have some money set aside to help. $120,000 is our mission budget, a little over 8%. And then there's ministry. And I'm not sure how you divide missions and ministry. They're very, very similar, and I don't think there's a hard, fast line. Missions is out there and ministry here. Not always. They work together, ministries. Remember a few months ago when this stage was filled with young couples and their children, parent-children dedication? We believe that there's a biblical mandate that we continue to provide for our young families. We will have the largest group of high school graduates. How many of y'all graduate this next year in May? Hello, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Well, some of these may make it. We're going to have the largest group of high school graduates that we think we've had in a long, long time. Aren't we glad that we invest in these teenagers? Kids camp, $5,400, some of the best money we spend. A week of camp to our kids in our community. Not to mention the summer camps that our teenagers and children go on. In January, our kids, our children and youth will go to Camp Cholla for a winter retreat in January as they pull aside from hectic schedules and spend a weekend with each other and growing closer to God. Weekly biblical discipleship. I wish to be here on Wednesday nights to see 30 children learning the scriptures, learning the books of the Bible, learning what God's plan is for them on Wednesday night. Last Wednesday we had 25. Some Wednesdays we have up to 40 teenagers who worship, who study God's word, who break off into groups and pray. Aren't you glad that as a church we can invest in the lives of children and teenagers? And not only children and teenagers, we invest in all adults. You know, Sunday school literature cost? $11,000 is what we spend to buy literature for children, youth, and adults. It costs to do worship. You know that. You show up and we enjoy worship. In 5 weeks, celebrate Christmas. Our gift, Christmas gift to the community, will cost about $10,000 for music, for musicians, PR for that event. This past year, from Ash Wednesday through Easter Sunday, the Lenten celebration, a moving time of worship. And just every week, what you just heard, that was an anthem that we had to purchase that cost, make up a number, John. Yeah, it cost a lot. Every week, giving to make worship happen. Ministry involves communion. It involves those meals that we provide for family on the day of a funeral. It provides for fellowship that we'll have in 2 weeks when we'll meet together and celebrate Thanksgiving. It provides for 40 special need adults every Sunday morning while we're in Sunday school from 9:30 to 11. Their workers have just now come into worship. 40 special need adults and their workers that we've had a ministry with for over 40 years. The ministry budget of $116,000 provides for handbags and hay rides and to buy the Hallelujah Chorus. It's about 8% of our budget. So those two, about 16%. And our largest budget expenditure is personnel. Unapologetically do I say thanks be to God that we can support the personnel of this church. For 31 years, I have pastored, and I've worked with staff, and I've worked with some nut jobs, but I have never worked with a staff like I work with now. Thanks be to God for them. I tell these staff that the day will come. I hope I'm gone, but the day will come when they will go elsewhere, and they will look back on the years that they served at First Baptist Church Lufkin, and they will say those were incredible, special years. Thank you, church, for supporting our personnel. Our insurance for personnel is $115,000 The budget committee is recommending a 3% increase of personnel, which amounts to about $20,000. 57% of our budget, unapologetically, 57% goes to personnel. I don't know how you separate personnel and missions and ministry. It all goes together. It's who we are. It's what we do, and it's how we do it. 75% of our budget in those categories. The last 25% is operations. Yes, we have to operate this building, $317,000 worth. We are grateful for air conditioning. I could use some more right now. $95,000 is what we budget for air conditioning. We're going to add 31 restrooms in our new building. That's a lot of extra toilet paper. We've increased. I knew you'd like that. Probably gets more applause than anything. 31. That's a lot of toilet paper to add to the budget. And so we've doubled that one line item. You know, our insurance for this whole block, it's about $55,000, and just to maintain our equipment, our elevator, which you like when you punch the button and it goes up and down, and our copiers, $28,000. There's something new in our budget this year. We knew it was coming. It's called debt, building debt. We haven't had that in a long time at First Baptist. This building you have given, and we've borrowed $3 million to finish the completion of that building. And so we're going to start paying that back. $60,000 of that $100,000 increase is designated to building debt. We'll take out of one fund, put into our building debt fund, and ask you to keep supplementing that as well. When this building is finished, our monthly payment will be about $17,000. After the first of the year, we're going to do a campaign. Let's pay that debt off. Let's get rid of that debt as quickly as possible, and you'll be hearing about that. Because not only do we have that debt on that building, we have to provide for these teenagers. Children, preschool, offices, a great hall, but our youth are still in a building that does not really have air conditioning or heating. Well, it has heating, but the heating works really well in the summer, and the air conditioning works really well in the winter. And so that building alone, to get the youth, we have some plans drawn, some thoughts, $400,000. As soon as we have that money, we can redo that youth building. If you, one of you, or four of you would like to go together, the sooner we have that $400,000, we'll start on that youth building. The HVAC for that building, also about $400,000. Notice the carpet. We might could use some new carpet this year. And yes, we need a grand new playground for our children. It takes money. It takes money. And it took money to meet the needs that Paul saw. The Macedonians saw it. They were incredibly happy, though desperately poor. The pressure triggered something unexpected. There was an outpouring of pure and generous giving. They gave what they could. They gave more than they should. They gave because they first gave themselves to God, and it just naturally flowed that they would give for others. Paul said, "You love God, Corinthians." Paul said, "You're insightful, you're passionate, you love us. Now continue in this grace of giving." Pastor and author Henry said this, "I ask for money standing up, not bowing down, because I believe what I am about. I believe that I have something important to offer." Like Nowen, like the Apostle Paul, like Jesus himself, without apology, I stand up, not bowing down, as I invite you to be a part of the ministry and the vision and the pure and generous giving community called First Baptist. This may have been our greatest year of giving thus far. Don't stop. This far into the year, maybe the greatest year of giving we've had in many, many years, says our chairman of finance. You've given more than we ever thought this year to the building fund and to the budget. We're at places we didn't think we would be. Thanks be to God. $1,447,000, our budget. Next Sunday, we'll have copies of this budget for you to take to study. a week from this Wednesday on November the 20th. We'll have a church town hall meeting, a business conference where we question and answer and we ask and we adopt this budget. If you are not giving to your local church, come on, join us. If you are giving, keep giving. What a blessing. We don't have to run. Those professors were wrong. I gladly preach on what Jesus taught. I gladly inform. This is our church. Oh, God has blessed us. Let us continue to do what God has called us to do and celebrate pure and generous giving. Shall we pray? And so, God, we worship today. We have sung together, and we have heard a beautiful choral anthem, and we even heard a sermon about the Macedonians and Paul's words to the church at Corinth. We've heard about the ministry and the mission and the personnel and the operations of a church in East Texas. Oh, God, you have blessed us. You have given to us. You've asked us to be good stewards. And our only words we say are praise you. God, we praise you. We praise you for what you've done and what you're doing and what you will do. This budget, it's who we are. And it's what we're doing. And it's how we're going to get there. Thank you, God, for what you're doing in our midst. May we be faithful. Not out of coercion, not out of guilt. We give out of love for you. Thank you, God. Hear our praise is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.